From new brides to couples married 50 years. From those looking for love, combining love, and finding love again. Stay tuned as we journey down the pathway of the happily ever after with our celebrity host, Dame Nicole Brandon, the world's top expert in love and having it all.
Welcome to Hourglass Bride and Bridal Talk Radio. This is Dame Nicole Brandon. I always love that lead in music. I feel like I should have a fur bedspread and a martini. It's so great. I just love listening to it week after week. We have such a special and such an extraordinary show for you today. Today I am speaking with Rachel Kinley, and I am a huge, incredible fan of her work. And I love it because when we created this show, it was my goal and my deepest desire to bring to you the top experts that had the keys and the tools and the secrets and the bridges and the doorways and the pathways and the know-how to that happily ever after life. And Rachel is really a master and expert in sexuality, fantasy, romance, passion, and play. She is a celebrity author and radio host. You may know her from the O Spot here. And it is such an honor and a privilege and a joy to have her with us today. So, Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I do. I totally believe in happily ever after. Not every minute of every day, but isn't it a great thing? And I'm going to join you with that martini, by the way.
I think we should
definitely have those.
Every time I hear the music, I'm like, oh, okay. It's so great. So I have so many questions for you. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, because you've written all of these romance books. And I mean, and people marinate in your books. The way that you, I mean, literally, they just soak it in. And I was thinking about today's subject and the happily ever after and romance. And people ask all the time, how do you know that he or she is the one? How do you know that this is true love? And so do you think that the way people are touched or the way someone looks at someone is different? Or how do you create that difference between fun, play, and adventure, or that this is it in that scintillation in that moment?
I think for me, I mean, and the fun and the play and the scintillation is always wonderful. And the more and the longer you can keep it going, you know, or bring it back or, you know, inspire it is wonderful. But for me, that one person or that true love, the one that's going to see you through the months, the days, and that 50-year marriage is the person with whom you can be your truest self. The person who, when you're at your highest high, your lowest low, and everywhere in between says, I'm here. I get it. I'm not going to change it. I'm going to accept it. What do you need from me? Do you need me to help, stand back, encourage? It's that person with whom you can be you and that person that you love seeing be themselves.
That's such a great answer. It truly is. And I agree. I love all the scintillation and the fun and the play and the adventure.
Yeah.
But being able to be who you are at any given moment in time. I remember my mom used to tell me that marriages and relationships were not 50-50. She would say, honey, you know, it's 100-100, just like you're saying 100% of who you are at any given moment in time. And sometimes that's 50-50 and you hope it is, but sometimes it's 60-40 or 80-20, and sometimes it's 99-1 and you hope that
it is.
You're at one, that other person's there for you.
Exactly. You know, and if you have to be or ever feel like you need to be something or someone you're not to please this person or to make yourself happy, it can't last. You can't sustain that, and you shouldn't try. It's a drain on the incredible essence and spectacularness that is each and every one of us at our best.
So beautiful. And I always love to ask the did you know factor. When you were a little girl, when you were 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 and other people wanted to be Miss America or, you know, president or a nurse, were you always creating stories in your head or sharing stories with people or believed in the romance?
I was because the stage was one of my first loves. I grew up an hour outside of Manhattan, and my parents were big theater and opera lovers. So I always saw myself in different characters, as different characters, either the ones that somebody had already created, or if I didn't quite like the way they turned out or the choices they made, of course, I would alter it. Now, there was no such word when you're 10 years old as fan fiction, but it's kind of what it was. It was just kind of creating the stories that either becoming part of the stories that moved me or creating different ones that I liked better. So I didn't think of it that way for a long time until I looked back, because I didn't start writing until closer to I was in high school. But when I looked back, I'm like, oh, wow, that storytelling thing. Yeah, that was there all along.
That's amazing. And then was your propensity, did you naturally fall into the flow of the romance? Because you're so, I mean, you are an unbelievable writer and an unbelievable storyteller. You really are. I mean, you're the best of the best. Yeah. And so was that a natural area that you just...
It was. When I focused on writing romance and women's fiction, and women's fiction is a little different. I'll give a quick, like, 30-second blurb on that.
Sure.
Romance is the story. Romance is what's known as genre fiction, like mystery and science fiction and horror. And within the... And there are very specific rules. So in romance, the entire story is going to turn on a relationship. Now, 10 years ago, that meant a relationship between a man and one man and one woman. And nowadays, it can be almost anything. But the relationship itself is central to the story. Without the relationship, the story falls apart. And it's that one central relationship. Women's fiction is a woman's journey. And that may or may not involve a single relationship or several relationships or her growth through relationships. But it's her journey. Or if you have like three or four main characters, some of the books like to do that. It's the woman's journey, not necessarily her relationships, that are the focus. So I started reading romance when my mother gave me my first romance. I was 14. It was Kathleen Woodawise's The Wolf and the Dove. It was set during the Norman conquest of England in 1066. Nobody else in my class, you know, ninth grade knew what that happened in 1066. Didn't study it in school, but that was my first, and I loved it. I loved it from the beginning, and I've been reading romance in various forms ever since. And I think it did influence me not only as a writer, but as a person, to realize that relationships were very key in your life, in my life, whether it was my relationship with someone else or my relationship with myself. So yes, romance was always, when I picked up the pen and I started to write, it was naturally romance. And sometimes they have fantastical aspects, or sometimes they will have a science fiction-y aspect. Rarely a dark aspect, but it's always, what's at the center is always the romance for me, the relationship.
When you were a little girl, were you making like Valentines for the other kids in schools and stuff like that? I just see you like at the...
I did. I was always about, although I have to admit, Valentine's Day is one of my least favorite because it forces the issue, and I think it should be all the time. I have no problem with a holiday that's about chocolate, but the concept that romance should be focused on for one day, it always makes me sad. This is an ongoing thing. Romance should be something to look for all the time. You know, we want sometimes, you know, some days you can add a little romance to your life. Some days you can add a little sensuality to your life. You started by talking about that fur bedspread. That's a wonderful, sensual thing to have nearby, a soft blanket. And then there are the days when you want to add something even hotter to your life. So, as much as I do love the concept of Valentine's Day, I always encourage people two things. One, don't make it only about one day, and make sure you're loving yourself that day. Because so many people get upset about, you know, oh, I'm alone on Valentine's Day. No, you're not. You got you.
It's like New Year's Eve as well. People that don't have New Year's Eve date, and it's always, you know, that they think that something's wrong.
Well, I think, and we mentioned this holiday when we chatted, I think it's one of the reasons why Halloween has grown in such popularity. I mean, again, we're back to a holiday that's mostly about candy.
that's also about dressing up. And then there's the no pressure thing. I mean, really, whose mother has ever said, well, are you coming home for Halloween? Or are you spending it with your in-laws?
It's so great. And I know we're just jumping to a break in a minute. When we come back, I would love to talk about Halloween. And I remember seeing, I think it was Howie Mandel a long time ago. And he was talking about how he was an abused child. And that on Halloween, how his parents would send him to beg for candy from other houses when they had a big bowl by the front door.
Yes, you know, figure.
And that what his childhood was like, and that they would put him in like a little business suit or something, you know, and that he was supposed to be like a successful, you know, doctor, entrepreneur or something. And he does this whole very funny skit. But I would love to talk about, you know, Halloween for our children, dressing our children up, even like newborn infants, and my dogs, you know, have French maid's outfits and stuff like that.
There you go. Everybody gets involved.
Yes. And also, you know, in sexual play, as far as dressing and sexual
Absolutely.
Play. So I think it's a great topic to dive into and more with Rachel Kinley when we return here on Bridal Talk Radio and Hourglass Bride on our new home on Oftentimes. And it's always such a joy talking to you. And I also want to talk to you today about your new book, The Glass Stiletto, which I'm so enthusiastic and excited about. So much to share when we return here on Passionate Living. And on the break, think about what you do for love. If you can sustain love every day, or if you wait for a holiday like Valentine's to actually share your thoughts or to share your hearts, or and how you bring romance, which, as Rachel is telling you, is about any relationship in your life as a central core, or whether you have your own personal journey looking for love and how you're doing that in your heart and your spirit and your soul and your consciousness. And are you having fun in the process? Are you on this great, incredible journey and adventure to love? And we would love to share more when we return here. And I love this lounge music. Ready, everybody? Take out your martini glass.
Martini time with Rachel and Nicole.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business. And share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, seat edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Aloha, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Hourglass Bride with Rachel Kenley, talking about everything, romance, sexuality, passion, pleasure, play, love, lust, and the happily ever after. And right before we were jumping to break, we just started talking about Halloween. Now, you have a son, correct? And I always love the fact that when we talk about Halloween and we talk about kids, that we love people that are aligned with that, that actually have this incredible joy, this incredible happiness, this incredible way that they share. Because I know, Rachel, you also include your husband, include your son, include your family in your stories as well.
Sometimes. The kids, not as much.
My poor husband, though, I have to admit, there were times when I've been in the middle of writing a love scene, and I think of something, I'm like, wait, is that physically possible? And so I'll call to him. I'm like, honey, could you do this? Okay, lie there. Good. Now do this. Yep. Oh, good. That works. Okay, thank you. And he's like, wait, what?
Oh, that's so funny.
I know, we joke that someday he's going to have to write a book about what it's like to be the spouse of a romance writer, that it isn't all romance and sex and you know, constant passion and all of that, but it does have its very funny, unusual moments.
That's so great. I love that. And now I know you have a son, and so we're talking about costumes at Halloween. So what is it like as a mom to do Halloween with the kids, like as far as wanting to dress up and be somebody else, or to be another character, or to be a superhero, or to be a monster, or to show some other part of their personality in life?
Well, it's been interesting to watch that progression with both of them. First, we started with sort of the things they saw on television. Both of them went through the Thomas the Tank Engine phase, and then we moved into Power Rangers, and eventually other superheroes. And then it's interesting to me that after superheroes comes, as you said, the monsters, comes the villain, comes the blood and guts. And it was sort of startling, you know, and yet it's not like they've stopped liking superheroes. We're big, you know, Avengers and Marvel Universe fans and stuff, but the chance to be something evil, the chance to be something so different, I think. And also it marked for me noticing too that they didn't feel quite, you know, in other words, being scary or being bad was now safe. You know, it wasn't scary to them, and it didn't say anything personal about them. And yet when they're younger, they want to be something bigger than themselves. They want to be something stronger than themselves. So that's when you get, you know, a great deal of the superheroes. So it's been interesting to watch the progression. And now that they're both, one's in his mid-teens and one is just about to become a teenager, now they're kind of balancing the, you know, well, what do I want to do to, you know, scare the kids who come by or help the kids who come by and things like that. So it's changing yet again. And it's been an interesting progression. My favorite was when we were younger and I didn't know how to dress. I was going to dress one year and I'm like, well, should I be a princess or, you know, a queen or a witch? And my younger son said, well, I should be a queen. And I figured, well, he's going to think I'm a witch soon enough. So let's just go with the royalty role again.
Oh, that's so funny. And what do you think about people that meet at costume parties or masquerades or Halloween parties?
You know, it's certainly something that excites the imagination. And it must, because there's so many books and stories and operas and stuff like that include that sort of masked ball, that ability to sort of hide your identity and reveal only certain aspects of yourself. You know, you reveal differently. And no matter how you feel about your physical appearance, if you think of yourself as attractive or not, we always worry about how we're going to be perceived, if we're going to be judged. And there's something kind of special and magical by taking that away and then being revealed on something else, revealed on a smile, on a voice tone, on conversation. So there can be something very freeing about that. So that even while we're literally, and I love this, even while we're literally hiding behind a mask,
we could potentially be revealing a lot more than we would otherwise.
Do you think that when people are reading your books, that that's part of what they're doing? Is they're behind the book but revealing their deepest desires just by reading, just by diving into that world?
I hope so. I like to hope that that's part of the reason that that books like 50 Shades of Grey and then the others that followed were so popular, that these, that women, and it is mostly women, so I'll address that, saw something, felt something that revealed something to themselves about themselves, that sparked something. What I found the most troubling personally, because of course I live in the Northeast, so I don't have to hide what I write. And I had other, you know, friends and even mothers of my friends' children say, you know, I read this book and, you know, what should I read next? And I would ask them, well, what did you like about the book? And they couldn't really answer. And I found that sad, that as soon as the book was closed, whatever it was that was being tapped into, whatever they started to get a glimpse at, got locked away again. And it's as if their access to it disappeared. You know, some people like the fact that she was so young. Some people really, you know, as opposed to the power exchange and the BDSM aspects, it's not what got everybody excited or involved. There was lots of other things. But if you can't, you know, if you can't pull it out, if you can't put a finger on it, or as a writer, for me, it's always put it into words, you can't tap into it again. So the book ends and it's kind of lost. And so one of my hopes when I write and when I speak is that I can help women uncover a little bit deeper and for a little bit longer what it is they like, what it is that this is telling them about themselves, because it's something special. It's something unique and wonderful to be explored, embraced, and it shouldn't disappear when you close a book.
That's such a great answer. And I know that we only have a couple minutes before we jump into break, but I would love to start and then we can, you know, pick it up when we come back. But you have a new book out called The Glass Stiletto, which is really that Cinderella story. It's that fairy tale of that happily ever after. And so when people are reading The Glass Stiletto, it's the same principle, yes, that they are saying, oh, okay, this is opening a part of me. It's like opening that jar that's so tight you've been banging against the wall and banging against the floor and it pops open.
It is. It's been trying to get out. And for me, I was so grateful. Lori Perkins, who's my editor and publisher over at Riverdale Avenue Books, when I told her about The Glass Stiletto, I said, you know, it's not a tip. I mean, obviously it's Cinderella. I said, but in this world where most of the books on power exchange show a male dominant, this is one with a female dominant. Cinderella has been a slave. She's been somebody's servant. She's been taking orders her whole life. And now this prince comes along and she's like, yeah, I'm not so sure about this. You know, there's a lot of rules in your world and I don't know if I want this. And so when he asks her to marry him, she says no. And she turns the table. She wants to be in charge. And she comes to discover that because he is in charge so much in his life, he has to be strong and he has to, you know, take a stand. He has to rule and lead, that when they're alone together, giving up that power to her thrills him. It lets him trust and open up and be vulnerable to her. And she is able to begin to trust herself, to trust him and be vulnerable in these new ways allowed by the power exchange. And it's not that she's always strong or that she doesn't allow him to get close, because that's not what it's about. In fact, she happens to be deathly afraid of thunderstorms. And of course, they get caught in one. And so there's a time when they come to realize that they have come to trust, that they've taken some risks with each other and they can be together and they can have a loving relationship that doesn't always involve the power exchange. It's just a love scene. It really is. It's just making love in the classic fairy tale. This is perfect and nothing goes wrong and nobody bangs their head on anything kind of sense of the word.
But I loved playing with that. I loved giving her a happy ending that I felt was more appropriate for her experience. Because all of our experiences are different. When we meet that right person, we bring to that moment all the things that have happened to us beforehand. And so how we love again, how we open ourselves up again, is influenced by that. And so I wanted to be true to what I felt Cinderella had gone through. If she was going to fall in love, it was going to be for the right reasons in the right way. And this was how I interpreted it.
That's such a great transition and translation and view and window. Because it's so true. We do bring who we are to our relationships. We bring all of our past hurts and sorrows and fears and expectations and desires and dreams, and all of those things become mm-hmm. the who we are and our gift to that other person. You know, so the fact that Cinderella, a beloved fairy tale character, would bring all of whatever she's gone through mm-hmm. and all of her hopes and dreams and expectations for the happily ever after, I just think is so special and so scintillating and so scorching. And it's something so exquisite and luscious and light and graceful at the same time. And so I absolutely love that, you know, the glass stiletto. It's just a great concept. It really is.
And possibly high heels. If they're going to be glass, you may as well just make them high, very high heeled on top of it.
I've looked at some of the pictures from some of your ads from your books and some of the stilettos and some of they're some of my favorite shots of all-timer images that have been posted through you and by you and on your material are just amazing. And they're captivating. You just look at your pictures and you're like, oh my gosh, I love it. I want a poster of that.
I want those.
That's Rachel. That's something Rachel's edited. It's just so much fun. And so I know we're jumping to break some more with Rachel Kinley when we come back here on Bridal Talk Radio and Hourglass Bride on our new home, Ometimes. And when you talk about relationships, think about what you bring and what you give to somebody. Flash the letter. Yep.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Welcome to the gathering around my kitchen table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffee and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Nicole Brand, and we are back on Hourglass Bride and Bridal Talk Radio with celebrity author and radio host Rachel Kinley. It's just love this conversation. So, Rachel, right before we went to break, we were talking about your book and we were talking about the glass stiletto. And so one of the things I've been wanting to ask you for such a long time as a writer and also as a romance expert is that first kiss. Like we talk about in the fairy tales when the prince kisses the princess and she wakes up from a long sleep. And so how does one write that? And when you talk about when you meet the right one and you're bringing all of who you are to that relationship, what does that moment mean to you in that very first kiss?
You know, it's a terrific question because in a lot of ways, deciding when that first kiss will happen in a book is almost as important, and if not, if sometimes even more important than when the first love scene will happen. And because it sets a tone. For me, and I'm going to use another Cinderella story. Most people are familiar with the Julia Roberts, Richard Gere movie, Pretty Woman.
Yes.
That movie did for kisses what you could never imagine. Here you have a woman who sells her body for sex for a living, but she has a rule, no kissing on the lips. And so they've gone to bed already before she actually lets him kiss her on the lips. It's a major thing for this character that she allows this with this man, with this person. And it tells the viewer everything that they need to know about how she's feeling and how things have changed for her. So when we create that moment, when I create that moment, a lot of thought is given to who the character is and what it's going to mean for them to reveal this, because kisses are very revealing. Hugging is too. We've all hugged people who are awkward and or who end it really quickly, and we know like, oops, okay, that didn't go well. A kiss is that way too. That it's going to reveal something about you, and you're going to learn something about your partner that could change whether or not you kiss again or see them again. My sons love the story of my husband's and my first kiss. It was at a subway station. He'd walked me to the subway for me to go back to my apartment. And it was like one of those old cinnamon gum commercials. He was kissing me and the train came and the train went. We didn't stop kissing. And for me, that was significant. You know, I didn't want the date to end. I didn't want the kiss to end. So, but sometimes you make that first kiss almost meaningless. You know, actually for my Cinderella, she needs a distraction. She's being chased. She's being pursued by someone she's not interested in, and she sees a man on the balcony. She's like, "Just kiss me quick. I need." And he's like, "Okay, fine," because most men will not turn down the offer of a kiss. And after they kiss, she's like, "Oh, thank you. That's what I needed." And he's like, "You needed to be kissed?" And she's like, "No, I needed a distraction." He said, and of course it's the prince, and he's offended. He doesn't want to be a distraction. You know, this woman is quite the kisser. So how that first kiss happens, how intentional it is, what it means to the character is very important. And I think in our own lives it is. I dated a man once who, after we'd been going out for a while, he said, "You remember our first kiss?" I said, "Of course, it was on our first date." And he goes, "Yeah, I don't kiss on the first date as a rule." I'm like, "You broke your rule for me." And he said, "Yeah." And it was one of the most romantic things I'd ever been told to that point.
Aww.
So it can mean a great deal. It reveals, you know, what we do and how we are with another person reveals something. And when you're writing romance, especially, you know, I love revealing something about my characters through a kiss. Because, you know, 1,000 thoughts run through your head. I mean, if you could actually put on paper every thought that runs through your head during a first kiss with somebody you've been wanting to kiss, it would fill pages. So I have the challenge and the joy of trying to distill that into a couple of paragraphs for my readers and hopefully connect them to what my character is feeling and to either what I hope they've once felt or what they might eventually feel in their own lives and with their own kisses.
Wow, that's so romantic. And it's so exciting. It really is. And as we're talking about your books and people are on the edge of their seat and they're like, oh, I want to read that. How do people find your books and find you and all of that? I want to make sure that people know because they want to read this material. They want to just fall into this and be floating in all of this love and lust and romance and passion.
Oh, and I don't write in the bathtub. Given how Nicole just described that, just so you all know. Riverdale Avenue Books is my current publisher, and all over Amazon and Barnes & Noble and those places, they can find me, well, way too often on Facebook. Oh, my God, I'm such a Facebook addict. at facebook.com/author Rachel Kenley. And actually recently I've been starting to, I'm a journaler. I'm a morning pages person. I wake up and the first thing I want to do is sort of write things down. And that's partly from being a writer, but that's also just kind of how I get the noise out of my head. I know people who, my husband is somebody who takes like long drives with music and stuff like that. So if your listeners email me, I'm Rachel Kenley @gmail.com. One of the things I've been creating recently are these sort of small journals. I have some bigger ones coming out, but this is one to track. Do you know how like Weight Watchers and some of those things, they have you to track your food and stuff like that. And how you, I want women to start tracking their pleasure. I want them to start noticing every day little things that make them feel happy. Because once you start noticing it, then you can start including it and doing it more actively. So if they email me at rachelkenley@gmail.com or contact me through Facebook, I will send them a free download of like a month or 2 month planner where they can start journaling and just jot down. You know how people do gratitude journals? Well, this is going to be a small pleasure one. It'll slip in your pocketbook or in your wallet and you can hold on to it. You can notice the things that make you feel pleasure. So they can email me for that.
That's amazing. It's so funny when I have a friend of mine who is a very famous speaker, and he was talking to me one day about jealousy. And he said, you know, there is no such thing as jealousy. He said, you know, there's awareness that you see a red Ferrari and you are now aware that you want a red Ferrari, and the same thing, that you make a mental note and say red Ferrari, something I desire, something that excites me, something instead of it being, and that taking note of those things, how you manifest them to you, the same way you're saying it, and in a more abundant fashion. And I was in Ecuador, and outside my window was a baby llama. And I went out, and I put my little nose next to his little nose, and we had a little conversation. And the next day, he brought his mama and then some of his friends. And by the end of the week, there were all these little llamas outside the window.
Oh my God.
And I went to one of my friends, and I said, you know how David always talks to us about, you know, that when we see something, it's not jealousy, it's a desire. And that the more we connect to that desire, how we manifest that, and it's an awareness. And I said, I didn't have an awareness until this week, except baby llama. I think I may need a baby llama.
And that lights you up every time you think about it.
Yes, absolutely.
We're all over again. And the llama's, you know, hundreds of miles away now. It's important that we know those things, you know, that we can reach them. Because you know what? Every minute of every day isn't a romance novel. And it isn't always joyous. And there are days when I look like, you know, what I also am, which is a homeschooling suburban mom with two growing sons with lots of commitments. And You know, I'm not living, you know, in this beautiful palace with servants. It's not that, but I need those moments too. And I talk about this on the O spot, especially on the days when I get on the air and my brain is, you know, like six planets away, that we need to know the things that can just bring us back to what makes us smile, what makes us happy, what makes us giggle, what makes us feel love, what makes us feel pleasure. Because it doesn't have to be far away. And there are days when it will feel, there's no doubt about it, there are days when it will feel far away and impossible. But if you can get just a little closer, that can be enough. Once you know that you can get a little closer, you can get a little, you know, one step more. And that can be enough. That can be all you need to start, you know, changing that vibration from, you know, feeling like you're attracting nothing but more problems and more to-dos to attracting more joy and more things that give you pleasure and more baby llamas.
I love that it's a pleasure journal. I mean, just because there's something, just when we say the word pleasure, it has an essence. It has its very own energy. Pleasure is very different than happiness. It's very different than joy. Pleasure just kind of runs through you.
It does. I mean, one of the times I looked it up, there were people who wanted to suggest that pleasure was fleeting and happiness is lasting. And I'm like, yeah, you haven't had the right pleasure yet, though. Neither one of them has to be fleeting. You know, you're not going to feel everything all the time. I mean, that would be horrifying. You'd tilt like an old, you know, pinball machine. But it is something that can be ongoing. It's not fleeting. I mean, there's fleeting pleasure. There's fleeting happiness. There's fleeting everything. You know, there's the fast food of the emotion world. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But when you find those things that can bring you back to the smile, the softness, the sensualities, the joy, you know, that's not fleeting. That's truth. That's an inner truth about you, about what lights you up, what brings you that, as you said, that word pleasure, it does have an energy to it. It's like your whole body gets it.
I love the pleasure journals. So I'm sure everybody's going to want to do that. And I know we're jumping to a break in just a second here, but as we jump to the break, can you quickly tell me, when is the O-Spot on?
The O-Spot is Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So right in the middle of your week, or somebody wants, it's hump day. So I'm like, great, terrific. Know it. That's Wednesday night here on OM Times Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And it's all women's issues, or it's romance, pleasure?
It's really about, I mean, my focus is always about being authentically you and getting how your sexual empowerment is a power from within, as opposed to a power over somebody. People have a tendency to misunderstand what being sexually empowered is. It's not about controlling someone else. It's about a personal power within. And I reach out to men because there's such a great dichotomy between men and women. There's a balance of energy. And when you're a man who's been with a woman who is sexually empowered, who is in balance, who is fully authentic, you know it.
Absolutely.
And you know, the more authentically feminine we are, the stronger masculine they can be, and the energy of the balance is just beautiful. Exquisite. Well, I do have some mail.
We come back, so I'd love to. I think that's a fabulous subject to be talking about. And what an incredible show. The O-Spot. Tonight's on Hump Day with Rachel Kenley. More here when we return on Our Glass Bride and Bride Radio. It's a huge pleasure. And we're
bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, sea-edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back with Rachel Kinley on Bridal Talk Radio. I absolutely love this subject. And right before the break, we were talking about the O-Spot, your show on Wednesday nights on Hump Day. And just as you were jumping, we had to jump to break when we were talking about the men that you were also attracting to the show.
Yeah. You know, it's a dance, you know, with that partner, hopefully. My hope is always that, you know, women find this part of themselves before making that decision. The more authentic we are, and the more empowered we are before we choose a lifetime mate, the better, better off we all are. But it's an incredible experience when you're finding this strength of yourself, this new level of authenticity, and the man in your life embraces it as well and is as thrilled for your growth as you are. It's just, you know, the whole concept of being sexually empowered is just our society and our consciousness has been confused, for lack of a better word, about it. We have, you know, it's good, it's bad, it's you know, it's either all or nothing. You're Marilyn Monroe or you're, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's like, there's like nothing in between. And that doesn't have to be. I mean, like, people will joke. If you meet me in person and, you know, maybe it comes across in the radio too, I'm a total flirt. It's how I connect with people. It's how I come from that place of happiness and connection. And that's, to me, what flirting is about. You have to be in a good place, and then you sort of try to reach somebody else's good place, whether it's just complimenting them on something or, and my friends who've noticed is, you know, that I flirt with children in some ways, you know, and it's obviously not sexual. It's just a way of being. And, you know, we talk about all sorts of empowerment. We talk about financial empowerment and personal growth and these sorts of things. But that sexual empowerment, which is such a key component for women, has been marginalized, especially since the 60s, when all the powers that were more associated with men were deemed to be the more valuable. And part of me hopes that this new awareness that was started with the 50 Shades of Grey books is leading towards a greater awareness of that for women and for men, that, you know, they want their women to feel like this. I mean, historically, there was a time when that was our only power. You can watch things like Dangerous Liaisons, and the only power that women had for, you know, and it was usually manipulative, was their sexual power. And that's changed, which is good, but it's still a part of us. And when you deny one part of you, you can't be fully empowered. And we all deserve that.
I agree. My favorite movie is Dangerous Beauty.
Oh, the courtesan in Italy. I love that movie. Of course, it's one of your favorite movies.
Yeah, but I love just the mind, you know, and all that mm-hmm. she develops and becomes, and her sense of play and intensity and her brilliance and her wit and all of these things that...
She is a great character. And for those listening, by the way, she's not a character. It is based on a true story. I think her name is Veronica...
Yes.
Franco. And she's real. It's a historically true story. And one of the scenes in it that breaks my heart is when her friend... Her married friend comes to her and says, can you teach my daughter this? I don't want her to live a life of inconsequence.
Yes.
And that just, it breaks my heart. And there are, you know, Thoreau and the male philosophers talk about, you know, you don't want to live a life of quiet desperation. The unexamined life is not worth living. You know, these are the words of men. But as women, we have, unfortunately, we do end up, if we're not careful, living lives that feel like they're inconsequent. And it's not until we embrace all those parts of ourselves that we realize what tremendous, not just power, but tremendous consequence we have, what influence, what opportunities we have, no matter what we've chosen professionally, personally, you know, in groups or when we're alone. It is a great movie. I have to watch that again soon. It's been a while.
That movie is my very favorite movie. So we should watch it together. I'll just fly out. I'm back east all
there we go. I'll just play it for all of you. You guys can all listen to it on audio.
Very nice. And I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to go back to the Halloween thing really quickly.
Oh, yes.
And talk about insects. You know, when people wear nurses' outfits or they're cheerleaders or, you know, men wear the Scottish kilts or the, you know, military uniforms and their knickers or whatever that is from like somewhere in time. And so what do you think it is in the costumes that spices up that sex life when people do that?
I think it's a variety of things. First of all, it's the newness. You know, this is the person that you're with on a regular basis. And I'll even put it in the context of marriage because lots of people do enjoy this in marriage. They enjoy role play. So, you know, you kind of need something a little new, you know, I can't give my husband a first kiss again. We've been together over 20 years and, you know, and we've been through, you know, losses and gains and homes and children and, you know, to spice it up is great to try to create a sense that almost can, you're never going to have that first kiss again. But, you know, if you're playing a role, it's that role's first kiss. So you kind of get a taste of it back, which is kind of fun. It can be a great deal of fun. The other thing is there's something about costumes that lets us drop barriers. That lets us, you know, if you tend to get nervous in bed or if you tend to giggling or you worry about your performance, there's so many things that can go on in your head. God help us. When you're trying to just be in your body and your emotions, that sometimes that costume, that role play, the power exchange can get you out of that. It takes it out of that realm of thought and can help you to stay a little more present just to the feel. Just to how it's feeling, just to what you're enjoying. You know, I know people sometimes can be afraid to reveal fantasies. You know, if your husband has a schoolgirl fantasy, what does that say about you? Absolutely nothing. You know, if you want to, it really does. It doesn't say anything about you. You know, Batgirl, Julie Newmar, and Emma Peel, you know, influenced a long line of men and their, you know, fantasies and stuff. And we women who were, you know, raised on, you know, Russell Crowe or George, it doesn't say anything about us. It's just what clicks you into that pleasure in that moment. And you want this person to be part of that pleasure. If you just wanted it to be for yourself, well, then you and your battery operated boyfriend can have a lot of fun. But having the role play stuff means it is about trying to connect with somebody and to show them something both true and a little bit vulnerable about yourself. And when you can take risks and be vulnerable with someone you love, you deepen the trust and you deepen the intimacy, and that immediately can make anything you do physically, all the sex better. Those walls have come down. Your clothes aren't dressed off. Your walls are down. That's naked. That's amazing. That's more frightening. I think that's what scares people more about power exchange than any amount of high-heeled over-the-knee boots and floggers that they see. You know, if you want to engage in role play or power exchange, guess what? You're going to have to communicate. Oh my gosh, you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to talk. You're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to reveal something about yourself, gasp, gasp, to your partner. That's actually a good thing.
It's a very good thing. And Rachel, I know we're coming to the top of the hour, but I love having you on the show. I hope that you come back and join us again. And just, I'm so excited for you and for all your success and your writing and your radio shows and your coaching and all of the things that you do to help spread love and joy and pleasure and excitement and enticement and to help people find that in themselves. Like you're saying, to reveal those pieces and parts of themselves. And a lot of times people find those pieces and parts of themselves in your books. And on your shows, and they're like, that's what I was thinking. That was the thing I was looking for. That's what I was feeling. And I almost think that you create roadmaps for people to find their own pleasure and happiness and that happily ever after. You really do.
Thank you. I say I have the best job in the world because I'm fortunate enough, as you are, we've found what we're passionate about. We found what we feel is important and what we want the world to have more of. And I get to bring that in on the radio show through the books. I love being able to do it. And I do. I love being able to see women and men make a change in their lives that brings them more happiness and love and pleasure.
Oh, you do it so beautifully. You really do. I mean, just stellar. You are so amazing. And I just so look forward to having you on again. And so for all of you out there, write into Rachel. And get a pleasure journal that you can carry.
Get a pleasure journal, rachelkenley@gmail.com.
Things that make you feel happy and bring you joy every day. And for Rachel Kenley and for myself, we are wishing you an unbridled life, happy life, a life of bliss and just scintillation and scorching romance and happiness and play and revealing your true self and your proclivities and all of the things that are happening inside of you and allow you to get closer and communicate with your partners, with your mates, and taking a step every day and every minute and every second towards your joy, your happiness. And I know that we are both wishing you the happily ever after life. And we look forward to seeing you next week here on Hourglass Bride and Bridal Talk Radio and on Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. On Passionate Living. We look forward to seeing you there. Great thanks to Rachel Kenley.
You're welcome.
And what pleasure is in your life today? I'm Rachel on the O-Spot. Good night. Romance.